Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Greetings from Leeds. I'm Trevor Dan, and this is a Radio Today programme extra reporting on last night's arias. After the show, I spoke to two successful BBC controllers, Five Lives' John O'Wall, who won a barrow load of awards, and One Extra's Ben Cooper, who took home Station of the Year. Stuart Clarkson grabbed a word with many of the winners as they came off stage, so you'll also hear from Rachel Burden, Ian Lee, Stephen Nolan, Tony Morey, Christian O'Connor, Andrew Flintoff and Robbie Savage, Giles Peterson, Vanessa Feltz and ADOT. Enjoy. Phil Riley, Chair of Judges for ARIA's 2017. How do you think it went?
I thought it was excellent. Really enjoyable evening. Great presentation. Super winners. The overall atmosphere was very positive and supportive of the radio industry. So yeah, great for year two of the ARIA's.
Good number of entries, you kept saying, and yet the same names kept coming up, which suggested that maybe there weren't that many, or at least there wasn't that diversity.
No, I think where we ended up was that some entries, really strong entries, were placed in multiple categories, and if you've got an outstanding piece of audio, each category had different judges, so a different set of judges would hear the same outstanding piece of audio and go, that's got to be nominated. So you had Edith Bowman, I felt very sorry for, because she obviously had some outstanding audio. It got entered into three categories. It got nominated in all three categories, but something else beat it every time. So, I feel really for Edith, because she's the bridesmaid, not the bride, this evening. I'm sure she'll win in the future. So I think maybe as chair of judges, I need to go away with the Academy and just think about whether we need to think again about how we let particular bits of audio enter multiple categories in order to let more entries filter through. But that's a minutiae bit of digging in the weeds for me and the other guys to think about.
What's your advice to people who are thinking of putting in an entry, though? What do they have to concentrate on?
I think you just need to make the audio outstanding for a judge. You want something that's just going to grab them. And if it grabs them, it will get great scores. And you could see from some of that audio, the Key 103 audio, for example, and the Freddie Flintoff and the ping pong guy, those were clearly two of the outstanding bits of audio that had multiple nominations and both won multiple awards, that there was something about that obviously just captured people. So it's being able to capture somebody with that compelling bit of audio is the key.
It felt like a really successful evening. Have the ARIAs arrived at where the Sonys were?
I think they're different to the Sonys, and I'm pleased that they're different, because I don't think you can repeat what that was. That was a different time. It felt to me like a very healthy mix between the best of the Sonys, the best of the Arkivas, and maybe a bit more as well. And so I think actually if we can keep what was good about tonight and maybe polish some of the things that didn't go quite so well and improve some of the bits, I think we'll have a set of awards that are going to really go from strength to strength. But it felt to me like a very enjoyable evening for everybody. The winners were undoubtedly thrilled with their gongs, and that's at the end of the day, you want to have a set of awards that people think, I really want to win that. And I hope next year the people who enter think, I really want to win an ARIA.
Can we get the biggest commercial radio company to take part?
I'm ever hopeful that the openness with how we approach the awards and the way that we have deliberately set out to make sure that every sector of the industry is represented at the nomination level. And there were one or two awards that were very dominant by the BBC, but pretty much every, apart from two or three, pretty much every award had a very good reflection of non-BBC as well as BBC. I would hope that that message over time might get through to every sector of the commercial industry, and that they will all come back and say, yes, we want to be part of this.
Thank you, Phil. Well done.
Thank you.
John O'Wall, lots of credits from the stage, but you didn't stand up on it. Why was that?
It wasn't really about me tonight, to be honest. I'm really proud.
You were the big winners.
Well, we won six awards, but if we'd have won the Station of the Year, you'd have seen me, but that would have been an icing on the cake. But, I think, Trevor, to win for Breaking News, Breakfast and Sport in particular, I mean, they're the core business, as you know, for us. So that means a lot. I think people wrote us off when we moved to Salford in 2012. people wrote me off when we lost some presenters in 2014. We had to read in the Media Guardian that we were going online only. We had to read in the press that we were merging with local radio. So, you know, I can sit quietly in the background on nights like this and just look at six gold awards.
When you come to think about what to put on air rather than on podcast, what makes a radio show rather than a podcast for you?
I think it's a podcast primarily, Flintoff. I think it was designed to be, and I'll tell you a story about it. On the second week of the show, I slightly over-edited it, and Freddie had a row with me, and Freddie was right, and I was wrong. Because what was I trying to do? I was probably overdoing
it. You were turning it into a radio show.
I was overdoing it on Taste and Decency, maybe. And I said to them, you know, we started out that it needs to be about 50 minutes. We've done the audience research, 50 minutes. And you know what? They record what they record. It's 1 hour 15, it's 1 hour 20, it's whatever. So, and then we make a lovely edit that goes on air. So in a way, we've tried to change that way around. And I think I'm proud of it, because I think it's the most exciting new sports show we've done in 10 years. And that's what it means a lot to me, because it's hard to innovate to that level. And that's why I'm so excited about what the guys have done, because it feels that fresh.
Are you thinking, as a channel controller for the BBC, as much now about online on-demand radio as you are about linear stuff, which is really at the heart of what 5 Live used to be about?
I'm thinking about 20 and 30-somethings who I have to try much harder to get in loads of different ways. And that sounds a bit corny to say that, but it's not as simple then as just doing better at pods or doing better at short form. But there are 2.5 million people, mostly under 30, who listen to podcasts who don't listen to 5 Live, local radio or Radio 4. And they're there to be won, and it's going to grow. Because I've seen, I was over in New York last week, I was meeting Panoply, I was meeting Gimlet, I was there for Bob Shannon, and we're going to partner with those people, and we're going to be world-class at podcasts, and it's going to happen in the next 2 years, mark my words, because we're not world-class at the moment. That's what we were doing in America. So it's great to see that podcast that we've done get recognised, but it's only the start of something.
Well done, Jono, and congratulations. It was a fantastic event, wasn't it?
Yeah, really. I thought it was really slick. I thought it was a real build on last year, had a bit more energy about it. And look, it's hard. We had such fun, didn't we, at the Grosvenor, and it was quite a posh event, but it's a new era, different kind of event, but there was hundreds and hundreds of people. There was a lovely entertainment vibe to it. So well done, everyone involved in it. Fantastic.
Ben Cooper, congratulations. One extra, the big winner.
Oh, it's an amazing feeling. I think every one of us who listens to your podcasts, Trevor, has been at a Sony Awards or a Radio Academy Awards and sat through everyone else winning and knows that feeling of kind of going away, going, oh, maybe next year. So it is an amazing feeling.
You're holding the award.
I know. And you know what, Trevor? For someone who has given their life to radio and listens to radio since I think my parents gave me a radio when I was 8 years old, to actually be getting Station of the Year means so much. And it's been a hell of a journey for One Extra, you know, from Radio X to a 500,000 station, from then growing to a million station, and this year celebrating 15 years of being on the air. They've got an amazing amount of swagger.
How do you, as the controller of both of them, work out what's a Radio 1 show and what's a Radio 1 Extra show?
I think it's about the attitude of the presenter, the music that they love. And I think, you know, you look to see whether they've got that connection with the audience. You know, One Extra is brilliant at listening to its audience. It kind of reverts the Reithian values. You know, our audience inform us about what they want to talk about. They educate us about the issues that they care about in society. And they certainly entertain us when they come on the air. And I think that's the beauty of One Extra. It's so good at reflecting back to its audience what's happening in society, and that I hope is why the judges wanted it to be National Station of the Year.
I was wondering if the success of One Extra and Six Music and the 5 Live podcast suggests a direction of travel for the BBC, which is that it is going to be in the end about niches rather than doing broadcasting as we grew up with.
So I think it's both of those things, Trevor. I think, yes, you will find niche audiences and you'll find small communities that really gather around that podcast or that digital station. But you know what? I think in the digital age, there is something really important about a national radio station reflecting the whole of society. It's that kind of village pump. Yes, you can go off and on social media, you can find people who agree with you, but actually finding that zeitgeist of what is happening in the whole of the country, I think becomes even more important in the digital age.
Well, congratulations, and Arias 2.0. It wasn't bad, was it?
Do you know what? It's been quite a journey for the Radio Academy, as you well know, and you've well documented on your podcast. But I'm so proud of Roger and of Chris and the whole of the team at the Radio Academy, because it has been difficult at times, but you know what? We believe in this industry, and we believe that radio is not dying. Radio is alive and kicking, and it is here to stay. So I'm really pleased that the Radio Academy have put on such an amazing evening tonight.
Hi, I'm Mike Holt, and I won two golds for Flintoff Savage and the Ping Pong Guy, Best New Show and Best Podcast.
Flintoff Savage and the Ping Pong Guy was invented as a podcast before it was on the radio. What was the difference from the point of view of a producer looking at that idea?
Well, basically, it was a fresh piece of paper. It was a blank piece of paper. And we knew that Freddie and Robbie wanted to work together to do something. And we had a conversation with Jonathan Wall, the head of Five Live. And what we did was we stripped everything back. And in fact, in the pilot, I was talking about this today at the BBC Academy, in the pilot we dropped a couple of things in, like little, you know, features and little bits and pieces we could play with. And when I went back, all the good stuff was just the three of them talking. So I said to Jono, and he agreed totally, I don't want any station sound, no jingles, strip it all back, and let's make this a podcast. And for my money, a podcast is, or can be, just three people that get on really well, that gel, talking about all different topics and with honesty.
And the interesting thing, Mike, is you take all that furniture out that we are told as producers we have to put in.
Yep.
And in the end, you know what? It turns out to be a good radio show as well as a podcast.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's funny because some radio shows, I mean, I know you know I work with Simon Cross on Fighting Talk. That's always been a strong podcast. But it's got a feel of a podcast. It's like a club. You know, when you listen to it, you can listen to three or four and they kind of relate. With this one, I think you're absolutely right. It does make great radio, and I make an edit. It goes out for half an hour as a radio program on a Monday night. I take a section of it. But as a podcast, you get that freedom and a bit more time. Time is what you get, Trevor. You know, you don't do a running order. You know, we literally have topics we want to talk about. We all discuss them in the week. This is important. I tell the guys, I want it to come from you. And I think that's the difference with the podcast. A lot of radio, you know, as radio producers, we make lovely scripts.
And we tell them what to say, don't we? We tell them what to do.
Absolutely.
And what you're doing is saying, okay, off you go.
Yeah.
It's your show.
Here's the structure. Here's what we're going to, you know, let's talk about what we'll talk about. But then go for it. Bring your own views, your own sort of thoughts, and let's just see where the conversation goes. And people seem to really like it, which is...
Well, congratulations, you did fantastically. You just said to me, I'm the only person in the room who hasn't had a drink.
I haven't, I'm not
let's
lying.
Let's go and get one.
Okay, thanks, Trevor, thank you.
I'm with Rachel Burden, best speech presenter, breakfast at the Arias.
I was going to say best speech so far on the night. I think I'll take that.
Well, in the press room here, we haven't got any sound. We just get the pictures. So tell us what you said.
It was brilliant. I think I just said, all I thought was, I've got to remember to thank all the people I ought to thank, which your conscience is really dull for everyone else out there. But it's so important because, you know, we are just part of a team that works really, really hard. So that was the only thing I was thinking about. It was a very dull speech, basically, is what I'm saying. But it's meaningful to the people for whom, you know, were part of all of this.
And what do you think it is that sets you apart from those other speech breakfast shows?
Oh, God, I don't know. I wouldn't want to make the distinction that, you know,
Lack of preparation is key, I think. Inability to speak in the morning, lack of preparation.
Wiley is probably what sets us apart, to be honest. I imagine all the agents will be scouting for him a little bit later on this evening. You know, we have fun. We have a lot of fun.
And I guess it's been a busy news year, which is part of your entry for this award tonight.
Yeah, and you know, it's always busy. Every year is a busy news year. You know, we've been over to America for the American elections this year, and then there have been awful events as well, both in, you know, in this country and beyond. So, and that is very much part of our DNA and what we do, and we're proud that we do it, although we'd rather we weren't doing it. So, yeah, it's been a busy year.
And how was that feeling when the name of the show was read out and you had to get up in front of your peers on stage?
Relief.
She said, about blooming time.
To be honest, I've come second so many times, I thought it would never happen, so I was just relieved.
Ian Lee is here, the best speech presenter this year at the Irish.
Yes, non-breakfast. And Catherine Boyle, who is the co-presenter, and I couldn't do the show without her as producer as well. She gets the full... She doesn't get the full credit. Let's not get carried away, for goodness sakes, but she gets 50% of the credit. Yeah, I'm thrilled. We won. That's amazing. People like me don't win.
People like you. This is a whole show of content, isn't it, now, to talk about this?
God, no, here's the thing.
A whole week, sorry.
Here's the thing. No, I won't, because I won't mention it at all, and they will tease it out of me. I'm not going to bang on about this. But this, I have won a couple of other awards, and they're both in my children's bedrooms, so this will go nice in my eldest's room. But this is, no, I'm honestly thrilled. We do, Kath and I do this silly throwaway show that some people think is childish and think is worthless. And you know, we're trying to create something that's fun and unique and celebratory and is embracing, and this is some sort of validation. So it's great.
And it does go off on a lot of tangents. I was listening early last night, you were talking about Leeds, you were talking about the armories, and then you went off with some random discussion about camels and where water comes from.
Oh.
You know, how do you get from one subject to
what
another?
What were we saying about camels?
Could you use them like a boiled egg and
You cut their hump off and stick a straw in? Oh, it's
the guy said you go for the jugular, put a straw in and suck the blood out, yeah?
Well, it's just, here's the thing, right? It's I think late night radio in particular is, it should be free to kind of, you follow your thoughts. And here's the thing, sometimes it doesn't always work, you know. Sometimes we're firing off in different directions and we don't always get it. But the nights that we do get it, I think we you know, people seem to think that we're doing something special, which is very, very pleasing.
And all your jibes at the industry, they're just a bit of fun, aren't they?
Oh, God, no, I hate all of you guys. No, of course. Hey, listen, I've been lucky enough that I've made my living, I've fed my children, I've paid my mortgage because I work for the radio industry. And, you know, and I love it. Of course I love it. It's the best job in the world. Best, I get to show off for 3 hours a night, five nights a week. Fantastic. Wonderful.
Well done, guys.
Thank you very much.
I'm here with Stephen Nolan. Best news coverage for your coverage the night of the London Bridge attacks. How does that feel to win an award for that?
Well, it's always special to win an award like this because, you know, you're competing against the very best in the UK. But let's remember what the event was. The event was tragedy, and so I'm just aware of that tonight, that, you know, what we were covering at the end of the day was people dying and people getting injured. But the fantastic thing about Five Live, and it's where the media is going, some of our best correspondents were the actual people on the ground, and just listening to them, your heart beats a little bit faster when you've got that magnitude of a story, because you've got to get it right, and the tendency is just to maybe race a little bit too hard. So it's about standing back and just waiting until you definitely know in an event like that what's happening.
And how important is that backroom team who are getting the callers on air and kind of being the eyes and the ears?
The quietly slushy thing to say is, isn't the team important? But when you have, it's about trust. When you have, you won't trust everybody in a team, but when you have a couple of people who you really, really trust on a night like that, it's really easy to present. And it's about, you can actually tell just by looking at each other what you're going to do next or not. And I'm just gifted that I have great people. You know, Philo Holland has been with me for a decade now. And when there's a big event like that, he knows what he's doing. Phil, the editor, he trusts me and I trust him. And I guess it goes right back up to the controller. You know, if you kind of know on those things that the controller has confidence in you, then How can you not do it right, you know?
And it's been a big year of news. It's been a big year for you. You've won a few other awards as well.
Yeah, I have. There was a big story, the Renewable Heat Incentive Scheme in Northern Ireland, and I had a former government minister calling down to my house to say, I want to now talk about the party that he was in. And then we had secret government files landed at my door. And that's just old-fashioned journalism, where we took out a room in the BBC and we slept overnight for weeks and weeks and weeks, getting down into the detail, because every way you moved in that story, it was going to be legal or legal consequences out of it. But I would say this, I think that kind of in-depth journalism is being left too much to television now, and I think there's a real place on radio for that type of investigative in-depth journalism, and radio stations do it a lot more.
And we know how much you love radio. You've been quite honest this year about your pay and how, yeah, your journey into the BBC.
Well, I didn't have any choice, to be honest, about my pay, because it was published. So you've been a bit kind there. Yeah.
But in the way that you reacted to that story, and obviously then you're kind of opening your heart about your struggle to get into the BBC, and it meant a lot to you to be able to say that on the air.
Yeah, no, big time. Look, in terms of my pay, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, am I worth, or is any radio presenter worth more than nurses or doctors, and that usual question that's asked? Of course not. They're worth many multiples of what I would get. But you know what the funny thing is about the pay? The public supported me. There wasn't a kickback.
And you can get a pay rise now. You've won another award. Yeah.
Thank you for bringing pay up, you dirty rat.
I'm with Michael Carr, the editor of Five Live Sports, and Ellie Aldroyd, one of its many presenters. You've just won the best sports show at the Arias. How does that feel, Ellie?
Oh, it feels absolutely fantastic. I'm really, really proud of the whole team. I'm proud of my fellow presenters as well. And I'm proud of this man who takes risks on us sometimes. He's got an incredible eye for what makes great radio. So you can go to him with ideas and say, we want to do this, and it might be something completely off the wall, totally different. So, for example, I did a program about euthanasia recently, which was not something you would ever expect to hear on a sports program. But he said yes, and it's one of the best experiences of my life. So, yeah, I feel very lucky to be working for this program.
So much sport to pick from, so much airtime to fill. How do you do it, Michael?
Well, how do we do it? We do it with brilliant producers and brilliant commentators and brilliant presenters. And the best thing about the show is that everybody cares deeply about the broadcast and about the output and about the standards that we set, and that's the main thing. Everybody cares so much that they work so hard for that, and everything that we do in terms of the linear radio, in terms of social media and podcasts, and everything that's being asked of us all the time to keep the program moving forward, they work so hard and they are so creative. So just really proud of them all.
What do you think the standout moments of your entry were?
Well, Rio is an incredible experience. I mean, the live events that we do, I mean, Ellie was working on there as our main presenter, and just trying to encapsulate all those magic moments, but all the stuff in between and all the incredible broadcasts and seeing everybody in Rio, but also in Salford, working flat out all the time, 12, 14, 16 hours a day to get it done because they care about the standards. That was probably the highlight. But day to day, it's not those big moments. To me, it's about the day to day stuff and how we set those standards every day, not just for the Rio, not just for the World Cup, but for every show we do.
And standing on the beach, on Copacabana Beach, did you think you'd be then on stage in Leeds picking up an award for that coverage?
I the thought didn't particularly cross my mind at that moment, Stuart, it would be fair to say. But no, I mean, you know, you don't do it for the awards. I mean, it's cliche, but you do it for the love of what you do. And for me to be able to cover live sport all the time, to be in Rio, you know, so to be in the velodrome when Laura Kenny was winning another gold medal, or to be at the gymnastics when Max Whitlock was winning the double in, the first ever British Olympic gold medalist in gymnastics, was such a fantastic thing. And I'm just really, really delighted that the Academy has given us this lovely award.
Congratulations, guys.
Thanks, Stuart.
Two awards for Key 103 tonight for their coverage of the Manchester bomb, best coverage of an event, and another one that you've just won as well. Tell us what you've got in your hand.
This is for the Community Award. I think, as I sort of said, really, is that it's really lovely to be recognised, but it would be nice to be recognised for something that wasn't so tragic. You know, obviously we're a music radio station, and to be recognised for these two awards for how we reflected how Manchester felt after those sort of terrible attacks back in May is just absolutely sort of fantastic. So I just want to sort of praise the team, our news team, Michelle, and all the presenters on air, Gemma, Matt and Mike, Debbie, Adam, Daryl, that really worked really hard to reflect that sort of tragic night. And basically, you know, a lot of people didn't sleep for a lot of days as we sort of all pulled together to sort of reflect that.
And as you say, it wasn't just the night itself, it was the days and weeks that followed.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, it's always very difficult to really know how to portray that, because, you know, most of the time we're about fun and music and laughter. And I think, you know, what we took our cues from was what the audience were feeling. And, you know, some days they were angry, so we reflected that angry. Some day they were sad, so we reflected that sadness. Some days they wanted to celebrate Manchester, and we reflected that way. And I think there was many poignant moments from, you know, from the One Love concert that we covered, to the, actually straight after this was the Great Manchester Run as well, which we were also covering, you know. And then actually Gemma, Matt and Mike went down to the flower tribute one morning in St Anne's Square, and that was truly magical. So I think what we really tried to do was reflect what Manchester was feeling, and Manchester's a really different place since then, you know, much stronger sort of community and spirit, and we've all pulled together. And I'm really sort of proud of how the team came together to do that.
I'm with Tony Morey, who's just been voted, and it is voted, individual a year in the radio industry by members of the Radio Academy. That's quite an honour, isn't it?
It is an honour. It's a huge honour, actually. I feel very, very privileged, because I'm just doing a job I love, and a job I've loved since I first walked into Piccadilly Radio in 1990, when I was doing my GCSEs during the week. And I love the job every bit as much now. So to be given this, and given this by like my peers, is very special.
What do you think sets you out from those other people who were nominated for this? They're all great people, you're going to say that, obviously, but come on, let's be big-headed about it.
I can't be big-headed, literally, when you name any one of those, and I thought we were going to have, any one of those could have been a winner, and any one of those should have been a winner, actually, so nothing sets me apart. Apart from maybe I've got a bit more of a rabble-rousing bunch of colleagues that got the votes in.
And how do you better this next year? What do you do in the next 12 months?
Oh, my God, I don't know. I'll have to think what else we can do. You know, maybe, I don't know. I'm speechless.
Congratulations, Tony.
Thank you very much.
UKRD's Deputy Group Content Director is Mr. PG, Peter Gordon. From Eagle, and you've just been named Team of the Year for Local Radio Day. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, we are genuinely surprised. I mean, there were some amazing teams in that category, amazing stuff. So I'll be absolutely honest with you. It was lovely to be in the list, but that we thought that was pretty good, and it would be nice to have seen UKRD up on the screen and things like that. To win is really something else. Extraordinary. We're delighted, obviously, for people that voted. And it is great from a local radio point of view, obviously, that the local radio is still very much around. It's still important for the communities it serves. And we still try to do it in the way that we know best in the 21st century, which is some of the things that we've learned over the years about serving those communities, but also in a modern way. So it's about radio, it's obviously about online, it's about a lot of communication with the people that rely on you. And if you keep focusing on that and keep doing that, then it gets better and better as time goes by. But it's just been amazing to have got the award.
And a big project to pull together, so people at stations all over the country involved.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's more than 80 stations for this year. And, you know, that was up on the first year we did it last year. And that's great as well, you know, because that's the other thing, is that it wasn't just commercial radio. There was community radio, there was BBC involved, there was the prison radio guys involved as well. That's what we really liked, was right across the board. So whilst it came out of UKRD as an original idea, what I thought was so lovely was just the way the other guys that got involved embraced it, because it was something for them as well. So well done to them and everyone that got involved. And, you know, here's to 2018.
So whenever I come to awards dues, I always happen to bump into this guy, and he's won another two tonight, Christian O'Connell from Absolute Radio, Best Branded Content and Best Music Breakfast Show. Again.
Why say again? I get up at 4 a.m. Come on, man. Don't be like that. Where's the love? You're a radio fan. Do you know what? Any of those shows in that category, A-Dot to Grimmy, maybe not Grimmy, Evans definitely, they have their own merits and different reasons why they do the show for their audience. So it's actually a really tough kind of thing to choose from. But actually, you know what? They made the right decision.
The breakfast landscape's changing a bit. We're getting more and more stations. You've got Virgin Radio back on now. How do you keep getting better to keep beating them to the awards?
Well, I don't, it's about beating them to the awards. It's like the more competition.
And the listeners.
It's not just the competition. You know, Sam and Amy are really great. I'm glad they're on Virgin. It makes you want to work harder. When Moyles came back on breakfast, it made me want to work harder. Same with Evans came back. You know, you only get to be the best you are by going up against the best people. And so listeners have choice. I respect that, and I want that when I listen to the radio as well. You want to sound the way. Sorry. Sorry, Stuart.
That's fine.
And actually, you know what? It's changed so much. You said about the landscape changing. It's not just other breakfast shows at the competition. It's Facebook. You know, it's Twitter. It's stuff like that. So you have to try and, you know, work even harder at your content. But what I love is the fact that despite all these kind of other rival medias now, social media, online media in the morning, just watching clips on your phone, whatever, it's that actually radio is still really important. And I still think it's a really privileged job to do what I do, be someone's friend in the morning, whether that's me or Grimmy or Evans. I still think it's a really special time to do radio in the morning. And I love that. The emails I get from listeners who are going through a tough time and they lean on the show sometimes, and they don't realise this. Sometimes I'm going through a tough time and I lean on them as well. And that's what radio means to me. I just love that connection, and I'm very lucky to do what I do. The award tonight is just a small icing on the cake. And I don't mean that glibly. I mean that I love what I'm doing.
And every month we're reporting on Radio Today about Bauer stealing somebody from Global, whether it's Dave Masterman, Dave Berry.
All the Daves.
All the Daves. Anybody else in Leicester Square you got your eye on?
I think we've got all the Daves at the moment. But you know what? You know, they also steal people from the other way as well. But I can't comment. So don't push me on that one. That's a naughty question.
And where do you go next with your show? What happens to it? How does it change?
Well, it has to change every day, you know, and we're off tomorrow, but we're back Tuesday. And
Hang on. You've got the day off. Every time I talk to you at awards, you've never got the morning off.
No, I know, but because this one's in Leeds and it's quite a long trip.
Well, there's Radio Air. You could do the show
from
Radio
Air. Hey, come on. No, it's a bad station. Don't be like that, or they make me go on air. No, I wanted to be able to relax with the team and have a good night, no matter what happened. And so I don't have to get up at 4 a.m. and worry about the show. So it's nice to have a night off tonight.
So 2 more awards to take home. Where are these ones going? You've not got space in your house.
No, it's not that. I don't. There is no shelf. You'd be really surprised. I'll give this one. Richie's got this one, and he deserves it as much as I do. So here, take this one. So the question goes, so where does he keep it? Up his beautiful backside.
I'm in Leeds with a Lancastrian and a Welshman, and we now know the answer to the pub quiz question. Who was the last to score a hat-trick? Was it Robbie or was it Freddie? Because Freddie's won 3 awards at the Arias. 3 awards.
I can't get my head around it, really, because when we started this podcast, obviously you don't start off to win awards. You know, I wanted to do something with my mate, Robbie, and Matthew joined in. And for us, the winning was doing it. But then, as it's evolved, it's become something we're really protective over and something we're really proud of. And you mentioned 3 awards. For me, the important 2 are the team ones, not the individual new presenter, because I don't really present. I just talk to my mates. And to get that, and Robbie will play it down in a minute, and he'll talk about his football career and play everything down that he does. Amazing footballer, but the one thing in the podcast, he's the driver. He drives it. He's the one sending a message all the time. What's your subjects? What we're doing? Always talking about it. Always want to improve it. So I'll pass you on to him, but do not let him play himself down here.
Robbie, have you been surprised how popular the podcast's been? Because it has been number one in the charts most weeks.
Yeah, you know, not that I look at the 5-star 2,166 reviews.
He's 1,900 of them.
You know, because I'm right. You know, I want to. You know, I don't want to. You know, stay where we are. Yeah, I want to improve. We want to improve. And already we've got the topics for this Sunday, which is going to be wedding days, best man speeches. You know, we could, yeah, it is, yeah, see. And I'm sure Fred will have great stories.
Two I messed up.
Exactly, that's what we want to hear.
You could throw some award acceptance speeches into it.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
Shockers.
So it's just amazing, as I say. You know, you need a chance. And Jonathan Wall at Radio 5 Live, give us the opportunity. He's seen something in me 7 years ago. And now we've seen something in Freddie. And for Freddie to win Best New Presenter is great.
You
I know
won it,
six or 7 years ago. So, but you need a chance. And now, you know, to be here with your best pal winning awards is amazing.
Do you want to do more radio? You're doing this podcast at the moment. Do you see yourself, like Robbie, doing a weekly show?
I'd love to, but I'd love to do it with him. you know, we do the podcast each week. I think we've got another 20-week run or so, split over probably two more series. But yeah, of course you do. You know, I think, I don't know if it's the sporting background or something, but you always want to strive to improve and you always want to get better. And I know, I speak for Robbie on this, and Matthew, who is an amazing ping pong player, and he wants to get better. We want to keep, we want to push this podcast. We want to get it better and better and better, because most importantly, we love doing it.
And quick word on the great night for Five Live: 6 gold awards tonight.
Amazing, you know, 6 gold awards. Jonathan Wall, Richard, Heidi, you know, everybody at Five Live, all of them. When you go in there, it's a great atmosphere. You know, they give you an opportunity. But 6 goals for Five Live is just made. Well done to Jonathan Wall and the team.
And with Giles Peterson, who's just won an ARIA Gold Award for his online station, which only launched about a year ago, is that
right? Yeah, we've been going for just over a year, and I didn't think it was going to be a daily job, but it's great, and we've put a lot of work in, and it's amazing, so I'm really glad to win this tonight.
And tell us where it started, because it came out of Grand Theft Auto, did it?
Yeah, well, I've always been a bit of a radio geek, as you know, probably from all the radio I've done, from pirate days back in the day to now being on 6 Music, and then they asked me to do a special channel on the last GTA game, which is called Worldwide FM, and suddenly I discovered a whole new audience, and loads of people were listening to it, even my kids were checking me out, and so I thought, well, I might as well make this a living, you know, just turn it into something that's really a lot more sort of, you know, long lasting. So it's been amazing, and I don't know where the future's going to take us, but it's great fun.
And how's the change from kind of DJ to almost entrepreneur? I mean, you've been involved with record labels and things in the past, but running your own radio station,
well, it's
a learning curve.
Yeah, it is. All of it's a learning curve. I mean, you know, but I had my own pirate radio stations back in the day, so in a way it's just the sort of, you know, the legal version of that. So it's brilliant, you know, and it's just, as I said in my talk just now, it's like, it's just great to be able to hear and pick DJs just like I'd normally pick music. So I've suddenly just got to that next level, but it's really a lot of fun.
Congratulations, Charles.
Thank you very much.
I'm with David Roby, who's the managing editor at BBC London, the 2017 ARIA's local station of the year. That's quite impressive for you, isn't it?
It's quite amazing. Like I said, I'm seriously shocked. I mean, it has been one of those years where you thought you did programming which is worthy of any award, but you just never know. I mean, it's quite a depressing year. But that, as I said up there, the uplift of how London reacted and how some of our programs, like, you know, Robert Elms and Joe Good, the non-news programs, how they reacted and got that spirit day after day, week after week. I mean, from the end of March through to middle of June, it was non-stop disaster. But there was a great spirit about London. So this is for London.
Excellent. And your breakfast presenter's here as well. Vanessa's here.
Oh, hello. Thank goodness we're here. My God, imagine if we hadn't come. It would have been tragic. We are so thrilled. We are so pleased.
What excites you every morning when you get up to do that show? Well, you're obviously doing a show before it, but
it's
when you
really,
do the other show as well.
I suppose it's the challenge of doing something very different every single day in the most vibrant city in the world. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to break literally while you're live on air. You never know if it's going to be something, the funniest story in the world, where you're laughing so hard you can barely speak, or something so sad that you're crying so hard you can barely speak. And we have, you know, huge responsibility to break big stories in a way that doesn't alarm people, but does inform people and reassures people, but at the same time gives the facts. You know, it's a quite serious job in many, many ways, but also the best fun you can have on earth. I'm absolutely certain of that. So we are so thrilled, and also very grateful to our listeners, because we have the best looking, sexiest, most intellectual and absolutely vibrant listeners on the planet.
I thought you were going to say presenters then.
Presenters are exquisite, but the listeners are terrific, and it's a great combination.
Do you have a big night plan now, or you're on air in the morning?
I thought we were all going to bed alone, exhausted, and that was it. But now, I don't suppose, I think we're going to hit the city that doesn't sleep, aren't we?
We're going to do the breakfast show for Radio Leeds tomorrow.
Have a great night. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I'm with a couple of people here who've just won Best National Station at the ARIA's. It's ADOT from the One Extra Breakfast Show and the Radio 1 and One Extra boss, Ben Cooper. How's that feel?
This is incredible. This is the one you want to win. It's the one that celebrates everybody, rather than highlighting a specific moment or a particular show. This is the one that says, as a team, you lot did remarkably well for the year. So this is amazing, because it's one that we can all share.
And getting up and doing that breakfast show kind of makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it? You get the audience, but you get the industry recognition too.
I mean, I would do it without accolades. I would do it without awards. So to get an award on top of a job that I love doing every day is just amazing.
Roger Cutsforth, you must be really proud of this.
I am really proud, yeah. I mean, as you know, there was a lot of skeptics at the start, but, you know, and this year was a bit like the difficult second album, Trevor, because no one had any expectations last year, but we knew that they would have this year, so I was just delighted that we could raise the bar again, and I feel that we did that.
What was the highlight of the event for you? I mean, obviously Busty doing Year 3000, but, yeah. You know, what else?
Well, I looked around at the end and I saw everyone dancing to Busted doing Year 3000. I thought, wow, that was a great moment. But I've got to be honest, I think the moment that captured it all for me was seeing the 30 under 30 on the stage. And to give them their moment in front of everybody and the whole industry there at what is the biggest event, I thought that was special for me.
I asked Phil earlier about, you know, the elephant in the room, the fact that Global are not here.
Yeah.
Do you think they might be coming? You must be still having conversations with them, Rod.
Still having conversations, and it's difficult. I don't know. I speak to a lot of the staff who would love to come. I'd love to be a part of this, and I hope that they would. I think we've changed it significantly from what used to be the old Radio Academy Awards with Sony's in
and you've taken on the Arkivas mantle as well, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we have, yeah. So I'm hoping that they'll be part of it, and it'd be great to see them. As someone that's an ex-globaler and so many friends, and to have them there tonight would have been a wonderful thing. And I respect Ashley enormously, and Stephen and Richard, and if they were to change their mind, there'd be nobody happier than me.
I felt for you today. I once, when I was in your job, I brought the old radio festival to Nottingham.
Yeah.
And it didn't work very well. That was my hometown.
Yeah.
And here you are bringing the ARIAs to Leeds. That must give you an extra feeling of pride.
It does. I mean, I have to be careful because I'm a Hull boy, so any of my mates that are listening would be thinking, oh, what's he talking about Leeds for? But just to take
Yorkshire.
Take it out of London. And to be here, and Leeds have been such a great host city. This is a wonderful venue, and it does give me a great deal of pride, and I don't have to buy a hotel room.
Roger, well done.
Thank you very much.
That's it from this Radio Today programme Extra. Thanks to Roger Cutsforth and the Academy for hosting a very polished and enjoyable show. Thanks to the crew as well for helping us, and a special word for Stu Clarkson, who missed most of the proceedings in pursuit of the backstage interviews. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.